Hardly a day goes by without a reference by some politician or corporate CEO describing working people in the US and other countries like Mexico or China as competitors in a global labor market. US workers have to accept lower living standards, they say, in order to compete with our counterparts elsewhere. But what if that's a smokescreen? What if what's really going on is that global corporations are driving down pay, benefits, and worker rights for working people in every country in order to drive up profits and CEO pay for themselves? I thought about this again recently when reading a new book called El Golpe by Rob McKenzie. El Golpe is a Spanish term that can be translated as the hit. And in this case, it's about a hit job carried out by a big corporation and its political allies against working people in both Mexico and the US. The story is a real-life mystery full of greed and corruption, but also courage and inspiration. It's a true story, not about conspiracy theories, but actual documented wrongdoing by people in high places. It's a story about the past, but also shines a light on developments that are in the news now. And it happens to be a story about events that I personally was involved in, though I never knew everything that was going on behind the scenes until now. In 1990, I was working as an independent journalist in Mexico when I learned that several hundred hired guns had entered a Ford auto plant outside Mexico City and opened fire on the workers, murdering one and wounding many others. The gun thugs had been provided Ford uniforms and ID badges, and workers later obtained leaked payroll records showing that the gunman had been temporarily put on the company payroll and then removed after the attack. It was the culmination of a dispute that had been going on for years at that plant. The workers had taken over their union, which had been long controlled by a corrupt labor federation called the CTM. That functioned as an arm of Mexico's ruling party. With new democratically elected leaders, the workers had been demanding better pay and working conditions. Ford, the CTM, and the Mexican government combined on a scheme to get rid of the workers leading the Democratic Union. And when workers protested, the squadron of gun thugs appeared at the plant to forcibly remove the leading troublemakers. Over the next year and a half, I covered the story as the Mexican workers courageously fought for their rights through sit-ins, work slowdowns, and marches. To get media coverage, they even conducted a nude-in in which they removed their clothes in the offices of a government labor relations agency to show that they stood naked before the law. As I began working on a 20-minute documentary film about their struggle, U.S. workers from several Ford plants in the Midwest heard what happened at the Mexican plant and offered their support to their counterparts. Through their local unions, they raised money, they asked tough questions at company promotional events, and they talked to their co-workers about the need to help raise average pay in Mexico, which was then as low as $4 a day, so companies like Ford couldn't play off one country's workers against another's. In the film I made, called $4 a Day, No Way, Ted LaValle, one of the union workers from Minnesota, explained it this way.
We don't want to see Ford closing their factories in Mexico, but what we want to see Ford is to pay a high enough wage so the products that are being built by the workers, that those same workers can afford those products. That way, the competitive edge that Ford now uses as pitting the U.S. workers to the Mexican workers would not be there.
On the first anniversary of the murder, workers at Ford plants in Mexico, Canada, and the Midwest all wore black ribbons to show their solidarity with the ongoing struggle. As Ted LaValle reported,
there was almost 100% participation, which not only showed support, but it gave our workers an understanding of the struggle that was going on down in Mexico.
Ron Pellerin, a leader in the Canadian auto workers, put Ford's attack on workers in all three countries in a broader context, as so-called free trade agreements were being pushed by corporate interests and their political allies.
And I believe that's a part of the right-wing agenda, and we all know what that means. If you have, you get. If you don't have, too bad.
After months of protests, union workers from the Midwest came to the Mexican plant when the Mexican government was trying to hold a rigged election on whether workers wanted to be in the CTM or join a different union. I stood outside the plant with these U.S. workers as the Mexican workers were arriving by bus at shift change. Hundreds of police in riot gear formed an intimidating cordon around the arriving workers, who were going to have to vote out loud in front of their supervisors. To show solidarity, the workers from the Midwest shoved leaflets through bus windows that said, in Spanish, "We support your democratic right to choose your own leaders." Barbara DeGroat, one of the Minnesota workers, told me that day,
"The wages they pay them, they can't possibly maintain a family. That's all we ask. If everyone could come down here and just see the banners and listen to these people, they will try and understand that the Mexican worker is not taking their job. It's Ford Motor Company."
Author Rob McKenzie also worked at the Minnesota Ford plant at that time. Years later, after he retired, he decided to dig deeper into what happened at the Mexican Ford plant. He sifted through official archives, sometimes finding that the file he wanted just happened to have gone missing after he asked to see it. But with the help of a U.S. senator, he used the Freedom of Information Act to obtain actual copies of cables sent by the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City to the State Department in Washington, D.C. Those cables make fascinating reading as they show our government clearly supporting the interests of big corporations and not working people. The U.S. ambassador and his aides wrote that they were worried that the workers' struggle for better pay and working conditions might discourage U.S. companies from moving operations to Mexico. But, they reported happily, quote, "the government of Mexico has kept news coverage of the Ford dispute well under wraps," end quote. At one point, the local union at the Ford plant in Minnesota invited two workers from the Mexican plant to conduct a speaking tour in the Midwest, visiting workers at shift changes, speaking at conferences, and conducting interviews with U.S. media outlets. I arranged to accompany them, both to report on their tour and to help with translation. What I didn't know until I read McKenzie's new book is that the U.S. Embassy was sending cables to the State Department at the time that urged action to stop the speaking tour and to stop U.S. unionists from supporting their counterparts in Mexico and interfering with measures used by the government of Mexico to suppress the dissidents. The tour took place as planned, but reading these cables certainly showed me which side our government was on. Today, the history in the book El Golpe and in the documentary film $4 a Day, No Way, continues to be relevant as workers in Mexico are still organizing for the right to choose democratic unions that will fight for a better life. In early February of this year, workers at a GM plant in Mexico who make as little as $2 an hour voted by 78% to leave the CTM and join an independent union instead. A few weeks later, workers at a Mexican plant owned by Tridenex, a U.S. auto parts company, also chose a democratic union. In both cases, workers in Mexico and their union supporters in the U.S. had protested corporate interference with workers' free choice. And in both cases, companies faced the threat of tariffs from the Biden administration if they didn't back off. It will take a lot more international solidarity like that to improve living standards for working people on both sides of the border, as allies and not as competitors. Rob McKenzie's new book is called El Golpe, E-L-G-O-L-P-E. And the 20-minute documentary, $4 a Day, No Way, is available free on YouTube.